Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello and hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the program four exciting, intelligent, intellectual players of this game. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sue Perkins, and seated on my left, Fee Glover and Stephen Fry. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And once again, I'm going to ask these four players individually to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. So let's begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, oh, what a lovely subject. Marbles. Tell us something about marbles in this game, starting now.
Marbles, the very word, takes me back to the playground. I was 8 years old, holding these spherical glass objects in my hand with little bits of plastic colouring inside, I seem to remember. Sometimes green, occasionally yellow, perhaps a combination of the two. I don't remember blue.
Stephen Challenge.
I think there were two remembers, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He remembered too much, yes, right.
It's almost as if I'm playing the game according to the rules.
You were, and you had a correct challenge, so you get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, Stephen, and there are 43 seconds available, starting now.
It's an anagram of amblers, which is completely irrelevant. And I suppose...
Sue Challenge.
Deviation, by his own admission. It's completely irrelevant.
In one sense, it's irrelevant, but in the same other sense, when you're trying to keep going in just a minute, it's not entirely irrelevant, is it? If you want to take the word and juggle with it, which Stephen did, I think on this occasion, Stephen, I will give you the benefit of the doubt. Say it was an ink. Was that a cheer or a boo? And say so you have another point, and I can redress the balance later if I can, Sue, to you. There are 39 seconds still available. Marbles starting now.
Michelangelo Buonarroti, one of the great sculptors, of course, of the Renaissance era, made his great sculptures out of often Carrara marble, a very hard-to-quarry granite. And the David, which is currently on view, of course, in many different forms, but the original outside, oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Well, it was very good, wasn't it? But it was an error.
There was a definite error there. So, Paul, a correct challenge. You've got marbles back with you. 20 seconds available, starting now.
Remember in my past, it seems unusual that I was once a participant in the game of marbles.
Sue Challenge.
Repetition of game.
Yes, you talked about game of marbles when you were at school earlier on. Right. Sue, you've got him with 13 seconds to go. Oh, we're going to have a reaction to every challenge. They're going to be exhausted at the end, aren't they? 13 seconds, Sue, on marbles, starting now.
After removing the Elgin marbles from the Parthenon in Athens, they discovered they were notoriously difficult to roll and therefore useless in the game for which they were deemed to be fit for purpose. They should have stuck with the smaller glass ones.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Sue Perkins, and so she's got 2 points, so has Stephen. Paul's got one, and Fee Glover's yet to score. She's yet to speak. Actually, this is the first time Fee Glover's played the game. So...
No pressure.
No pressure at all. But you're surrounded by friends, Fee, and the subject is being treated like a princess. Interesting subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
I would very much like to be treated like a princess on a daily basis in going about my business in my household. I like to imagine that I might wake up on my 800-thread, high-definition linen sheets and somehow six beautiful, charming Oompa Loompas would bring to me a glass of warmed chocolate. I would then step out of my delightful bed and put on my alpaca slippers and glide my way off. For goodness sake, somebody. I can't get any further in my day.
No, the first time I played the game, that's a wonderful start.
I want a high-definition bed.
So do I.
So, Sue, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, we have it, hesitation for that. So you went for 30 seconds, Fee. Well done. Sue, you got in with 30 seconds to go, and it's being treated like a princess starting now.
Modern princesses are treated somewhat differently from the fairy tale. Were I to attain such a glorious role in the monarchy, my gown would need to be accessorised with gaffer tape for fear I might say something untowards about the royal ones. It is essential you appear demure, but ultimately silent. A mere appendage to the great one who, by divine right, rules with a rod of iron and ears like a Toby jug. Therefore, it is essential that...
Stephen Challenge.
Wasn't that two essentials? I may be quite wrong.
Yes, you did. Yes, it was essential. You did earlier on. Well done, Stephen. You got in with 3 seconds to go. Correct challenge. Didn't endear yourself to the audience, but doesn't matter. The subject is... Oh, this is a nice one for you, Stephen. Being treated like a princess. Tell us something about that in 3 seconds, starting now.
Whenever I come on, just a minute, I feel like I'm being treated like a princess. Aww.
So, Stephen Fry was then speaking when the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. He's increased his lead by one at the end of the round. And, Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round. Subject I'm sure being chosen for you because I know you're very much into music and the piano. And the subject is my favourite composer. 60 seconds, starting now.
I am torn between Benjamin Britten, the great classical giant of the 20th century, and Mike Batt, composer of the Wombles theme tune. Remember, you're a Womble.
Fee challenge.
Womble?
Mm. Yes.
Two Wombles.
The Wombles and Wombles.
Wombles and
Wombles. It's the easiest, easy one if you haven't played the game before to fall into. So, Sue, incorrect challenge. 49 seconds on my favourite composer, starting now.
Symphonia de Requiem by the aforementioned Ben is a great work of orchestral magnitude. Originally commissioned by the Emperor of Japan, it was deemed unsuitable. It had, after all, a Christian liturgy, and so therefore was useless. However, Mike Batt, who I've already mentioned, and therefore...
Stephen, you challenge first.
I think a repetition of Mike and oddly enough,
yes.
On a fat.
Yeah. Well.
So you have my favourite composer now, Stephen, and you have 31 seconds starting now.
Like Sue, I'm very torn. I suppose on this programme I ought to say Chopin, because he composed the Minute Waltz, which tune has played out towards the world now for 45 years, ushering in 30 minutes of joy and glory and wit, heralded and chaired, of course, by one of the great figures of radio history. So it would be very hard not to pick that Polish genius. However, Richard Wagner has a most special place in my heart, and I know the name itself causes people to sink in horror.
Stephen Fry was in again, speaking as the whistle went again. The extra point has increased his lead slightly at the end of the round. And, Stephen, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is, well, it's not a subject, but it's... It's four initials, CCTV.
Oh, Lordy.
Will you tell us something about CCTV in this game, starting now?
Charles Collingwood transvestite is not the usual meaning of the word. Oh, dear.
Sue challenge.
Repetition of usual.
Yes, it's not usual. No, that's just... Nice. Sue, 54 seconds. You've gone in very rapidly there. Another correct challenge. CCTV, starting now.
CCTV is useful for working out what happened between the hours of drinking 17 pints of alcohol and then the point at which you wake up in the police station. How possible to chart those mysterious lapsed moments without the use of video surveillance? It is an excellent aid memoir for the evenings lost in alcoholic reverie.
Fee challenge.
I think you had two losts.
Yes, you were lost.
Well, it was
alcohol.
A heavy
You were
night.
Lost twice.
And well, that's why CCTV is so useful.
Yes. So, Fee, there are 31 seconds still available. Tell us something about CCTV starting now.
The worst type of CCTV is the stuff that you get in women's underwear stores, where, if you're in the changing rooms, you can occasionally glance your bottom. There is absolutely no way that any person who isn't a man wants to see their bottom.
Bottom. Sue Challenge.
Double bottom.
Double bottom. Yes. And any person who isn't a man is a woman, but, yeah, I mean, you can...
I know, but that's...
Good evening.
Do you think so?
That was good.
Yeah, yeah, no, yes, right, correct challenge, Sue. 13 seconds are still available. CCTV starting now.
I, like Fee, have also unwittingly glanced at my own backside in surveillance camera footage.
Stephen, challenge.
She used the phrase video surveillance in her earlier speech. So surveillance.
Oh, yes, a video surveillance. Ooh.
That was almost spectral,
does
that one.
Pay to have a good memory in this game. Well done, Stephen. You've got 7 seconds still. CCTV starting now.
Closed-circuit television is for many the bane of the modern world. Is it possible for movement anywhere? I got all excited.
Paul, your challenge.
Slight deviation there. On
yes, I think
yeah. Movement.
Exactly. Deviation from language as we understand it. And certainly as we speak. Oh, Paul, you got in with half a second to go.
I shall try and use my time wisely.
We've got a round of applause for it anyway. Yeah. Half a second, CCTV, Paul, starting now. So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went. He's gained an extra point for doing so. He's moved forward a little. He's still in third place behind Sue Perkins and Stephen Fry in that order. And Fee brings up the rear. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, a nice erudite subject. Aristotle. Tell us something about Aristotle. Oh, it's good to have a bit of a challenge again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bit of an intellectual challenge. Yeah. Aristotle, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
There was a Monty Python song about various philosophers, and Aristotle featured quite heavily in it. Unfortunately, I can't remember any of the lyrics. If I could, that might help me.
Stephen,
I can help him out there. It's Aristotle. Aristotle was a bugger for the bottle, if you remember the line. Yeah. René Descartes was a drunken old fart. Yeah. Heidegger. Yeah, and so on. I was just helping him out. But it's not a challenge.
No. But, Stephen, you interrupted him, so he gets a point.
Well, that's fair enough,
So you keep the subject, Paul, and you've got 54 seconds on Aristotle, starting now.
Aristotle, to his mother, was just a nice boy, but to everybody else, he was a very clever man. how lame was that?
There was a sort of halting.
Hesitation. 48 seconds, Sue, on Aristotle's. Starting now.
I believe Aristotle came up with the unity of time and place, in which plays have to be located both geographically and temporally. However, my memory is somewhat lacking, so it could have been any one of the major philosophers operating... philosophers. It's a philosopher who's also a police officer.
Well, he stopped being a philosopher, didn't he, temporarily? So
well,
I'd say it was a deviation.
She deviated from English, as we understand it again.
God I don't have to speak about him anymore.
So you've all had a go on the subject, and we've still got 35 seconds left.
Yes.
Fee, Aristotle, 35 seconds, starting now.
Aristotle was a very wise philosopher because one of the main tenets of the things that he believed in were that women had to be happy in order for society to work as a better place. Now, in holding this view, he was slightly out of step with other philosophers, namely Plato, who didn't believe that women's...
Too many women. Certainly for ancient Greece, I mean... Right.
Yes.
So, Stephen, you've gone in with the correct challenge with 10 seconds on Aristotle, starting now.
Philip of Macedonia employed Aristotle to teach his son Alexander. It may be one of the reasons that that great emperor was such a success. Logic, ethics, poetics, economics.
So, Stephen got the extra point again. Speaking as the whistle went, he's increased his lead slightly over Sue Perkins, Paul Merton and Fee Glover in that order. Fee, we'd like you to begin the next round. The best sort of babysitter. I'm going to tell us something about that in this subject. I think you have some experience, don't you?
Yes.
Starting now.
It would imply from what Nicholas has just said that I am actually a babysitter in that I have experience in the world of being a babysitter, but I don't. I have...
Who's challenged? Sue.
I think I challenged incorrectly because I think babysitter's actually in on the card. It's on the card. Yeah. The point is yours.
You can repeat the words or the whole phrase. It doesn't really matter. So... Fee, you have another point.
Yes, good.
You keep the subject.
Thank you.
You have 52 seconds. The best sort of babysitter starting now.
Many people would believe that the best sort of babysitter is one who arrives in the evening, allowing you to go and indulge in a grown-up world again, one that doesn't consist of wiping, moisture, strange, nasty, yucky pieces of slime covering every single surface of your household. But in fact, I rather like the best sort of babysitter.
Paul Sands.
They include the roof. Every single surface in your household.
They get everywhere, Paul. They get everywhere.
They get everywhere.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
They do get everywhere. Yes. Right. Well, Paul, we enjoyed your interruption.
Did you?
Well, shall I give you a bonus point for that
you.
One? Right. Audience enjoyed it. But incorrect challenge, Fee.
Oh.
So you've still got 31 seconds and you've still got the subject. Best sort of babysitter starting now.
The best sort of babysitter is the one that you can just call up as an emergency. So you might have 999 on speed dial.
Oh, this is where experience
comes
in. No, you can't help it, my love, when you haven't played it very often. Paul. I know.
Over emphatic German.
25 seconds, Paul. The best sort of babysitter starting now.
Well, one that gives you your baby back alive at the end of the evening, I think, would be a pretty good recommendation for a start, wouldn't it? Once your child is asleep, then the babysitter can do whatever they like within the bounds of reason. Watch Midsummer Murders or tune into some marvellous drama currently playing on Channel 4 and have the time of their lives while your offspring is gently sipping a piece of beer.
Three chance.
Slipping a piece of beer or sipping a piece of beer?
Sipping
yeah, but there
a piece
was a hesitation.
It went
wasn't
a bit.
It?
Does beer come in pieces now?
Yeah. You get it out of the fridge.
Okay.
Yeah. But he did hesitate, didn't he, Fee?
I think so.
Yes, I'm glad.
Not in charge.
So you've got another correct challenge and 3 seconds on the best sort of babysitter starting now.
I'd like to book one right away because I will be celebrating if I manage to.
So, Fee Glover was then speaking as the whistle went, and with the other points in the round, she's kept caught up with Sue Perkins, who's in second place behind Stephen, and he's one ahead. They're all one ahead of Paul. No, they're all more than. I don't know what it is. Only 1 or 2 points separate all of them.
It's close.
Sue, we're with you to begin. Weeding is the subject. I think you're a gardener, and I understand how you love your garden. Tell us something about weeding in this game, starting now.
Weeding has got immeasurably easier since I invested in an industrial flamethrower. Oh, the days of hacking away at bits of shrubbery with a spade. Now I can switch on the butane gas monster and irradiate the entire yard in a nanosecond. Think of me as a horticultural Ripley from Alien, casting aside all notions of conventional gardening, instead turning my vicious attentions to absolutely destroying everything that stands in my way. Weeds have no bounds to my excessive violent force. I can't abide flowers anyway. They tend to get caught in the backdraft, which is the new technical term I employ for the clearance that I use. I love what you've done, say neighbours as they drive by amidst the smoke.
Well, that hasn't happened for quite a while in this show. But, Sue, you started with the subject and you kept going without hesitation, repetition or deviation and without being challenged either for 60 seconds. So you get a point for speaking as the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted. And you're now equal with Stephen Fry in the lead and you are 2 points ahead of Fee Glover and Paul Merton. And, Stephen, we're back with you to begin. And the subject, rather a strange one, how to clean a chandelier. Strange subject. Tell us something about it. Or have you personal experience? Well, we'll find out anyway. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I think the most important thing is first to disengage the chandelier from any electrical current. So make sure that's done. Then cover the bulbs in some sort of sacking. I would use isopropyl alcohol in order to clean the individual crystals that depend from your chandelier. Most important, and let's remember him just for a moment, John Sullivan made a marvellous scene in Only Fools and Horses where chandeliers fell to the ground because they chose the wrong one to loosen. Don't do that. That's my advice. Fail to do that, and then really things can't go too far wrong. It's important, I think, to clean a chandelier once every 4.72 years because the dulling of the individual glass facets is very quickly onset and must be overcome. As I say, some solvent, Freon, might be a good choice. Otherwise, a volatile fluid like perhaps, and I'm not really being prescriptive here, it's merely a suggestion, something along the lines of, I don't know.
Stephen, you went for 59 and a half seconds. Oh!
Dad challenged me. Only Paul Merton would dare.
Well, not only did he was listening. It was he has the sharpest ears. Mm. So you've gone in, Paul, with half a second. And I'll tell you what we do. As he went for 59 and a half seconds, give him a bonus. Oh, yeah. And Paul, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, right, yes. Half a second, how to clean a chandelier, starting now.
Soapy water.
So, Paul Merton speaking as a whistle. When gained that extra point? Gosh, it's neck and neck here. Paul, Fee, Sue, Stephen, in that sequence. Just 1 point separating them all four. I don't think I'm really interested in the points, which is a bit of a bore, isn't it? Well, I'm not either, but I know there are some listeners who are, because they write in about them. How can you sit at home and just start up the points rather than listen to the humour and the fun and the repartee and the flavour and the whole essence of the frissons of the show? I don't know what I'm talking about, but it's jolly good stuff, isn't it? Paul, your turn to begin. The perfect best man's speech. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
The perfect best man's speech. I can't help but feel that members of the public are sometimes put into a rather invidious position when they're not used to speaking in front of their contemporaries to actually put jokes into the best man's speech, which I think is a terrible problem altogether because nobody's really expecting you to have the wit of Jack Benny or Dave Allen. All they need is for you to say, I've met the bride, isn't she lovely? Or I know the groom, he's my brother. Or will you please notice that Uncle Ernie over there, who's currently trying to stuff his fag ends into the wedding cake, is actually a marvellous eccentric that we've invited here by mistake. Once you've been complacent... Oh, no.
Sue, challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
Yes, absolutely.
Just about, yes, and he hit the microphone in his frustration. I only mention that because the listeners might want to know what the bang was. 20 seconds. Sue, you've got 20 seconds to go, and the subject is the perfect best man's speech, starting now.
The perfect best man's speech is guaranteed to destroy the wedding only hours after the priest has pronounced them man and wife. So coruscating in its wit, so revelatory in its revelations, the man and woman will suddenly be cast asunder. What? You're knocking her off? Next door? I can't believe it. And to make such light of it.
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and we're moving into the final round, I've been told. Oh, you are lovely. I'll give you the sequence. There's very few points between all of them. Fee Glover's just in fourth place. Then 1 point, apart that is Paul Merton, and then 1 point ahead of that, Stephen Fry, and 1 point out in the lead at the moment is Sue Perkins. And Fee, we're back with you to begin. Will you take this subject, the most beautiful word in the world? 60 seconds starting now.
There's always a moment, isn't there, when you're sitting in the pub and after everyone's discussed their various holidays and people have decided who they like and who they have chosen not to love, that somebody decides it would be a good idea to talk about the best and most beautiful word in the world. And people always say gusset. It's then followed by someone who says moist. And you suddenly look around these people who formerly you thought were friends and you say, what have you been thinking about?
Sue, challenge.
People.
Oh, no, too many people.
Three times.
Yeah.
Too many people.
Yeah.
Too many people, my darling. But it doesn't matter. We enjoyed it, particularly the gusset. Sue, 36 seconds available still on the most beautiful word in the world, starting now.
My favourite word in the entire universe is nugatory, which simply means trifling, and yet it's such a substantial word in itself. Works against the very meaning of it. When you say trifle, you mean a piffle. I've repeated it twice.
Stephen,
trifle, I think, was...
Yes, it was a trifle before, right?
Yeah.
So, Stephen, you've got 26 seconds still, and the subject is the most beautiful word in the world, starting now.
There's a word in a Ben Jonson poem. Have you marked but the fall of the snow before the soil hath smutched it? And I adore that word, smutch. You don't need to know what it means. It's so obvious it's a kind of compendium of smudge. Yes. No, I didn't say smutch twice. I said smutched and smutch. It was very nice of you to suggest that Feehee challenged. But the line in the poem is, have you marked but the fall of the snow before the soil hath smutched it? And then I said, I love the word smutch.
But didn't
so
you,
it's not a repetition.
Didn't
of
you smutch again just
no.
at the end?
You did. You said it three times. And one thing
was a tiny, tiny smutch.
Yes, so you're either
no, no, I said it's compendium of smudge. I said that's smudge. What it means. You know that it means smudge. Yeah, I didn't say it's compendium. That's the point. I said you instinctively know that it means smudge.
You'll fight for every little point, won't you?
I fight only for justice.
Well, as you're all absolutely equal at the moment, and Fee's not played the game before, can I give her the benefit
by
of the doubt?
By all means. Oh, by all means.
And tell her that you have 10 seconds, Fee, on the most beautiful word in the world, starting now.
There are quite a few people listening who...
Stephen,
no.
tell her.
That's the fourth people now, I'm afraid.
So, Stephen, you lose it, but you get it back. Another point to you. 8 seconds. The most beautiful word in the world, starting now.
I like words which don't rhyme with others. Silver, orange, oblige, curfew.
Paul Challenge.
Orange, door hinge.
I know a ruder one.
Orange.
You know ruder rhyme for orange?
Yes.
What is
it? I can't say it because it won't be broadcast. I'll
orange,
say it later.
Hinge? Oh, no.
Door hinge.
Very close, but not quite there, Paul, I don't think.
Not quite there, no.
No, no, right.
Sure.
So, Stephen, you've got 2 seconds on the most beautiful word in the world, starting now.
Quite fond of emolument.
So it's time to give you the final score. Paul Merton and Fee Glover both finished in third place, equal, and 3 points ahead of them was Sue Perkins, and 2 points ahead of Sue was Stephen Fry. So we say, Stephen, you are our winner this week. Then it remains me to say thank you to these four fine, exciting players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Fee Glover, and Stephen Fry. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre. So from me, Nicholas Parsons, and these wonderful players of the game, please tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.